Hello, and welcome to Hospitality Speaks Podcast, where we interview top leaders in the travel and leisure business. Join us as we explore the latest trends in the industry and discover what it takes to lead the pack. And now, please welcome your hosts, Ryan Reese and Tommy Botts.
Hi, hoteliers. I'm Tommy Botts, and welcome back to Hospitality Speaks. I'm here today with my co-host, Ryan Reese.
Hey, everybody. We had a great time speaking with Managing Director and General Manager of the Statler Hotel, Arthur Keith, last time. And today we're welcoming President of Pacific Hospitality Group, Paul McCormick.
We really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today, Mr. McCormick. So first, let's start off with a little bit about yourself. First off, how did you break into the industry?
Well, it's funny. I was a dishwasher working my way through high school and going to school to be a civil engineer and fell in love with the hospitality business versus my engineering classes. And that's how I got my start.
So can you tell us a bit about Pacific Hospitality Group?
Sure. So Pacific Hospitality is, we're located in Irvine, California, and owners and operators. So we own and operate a variety of different properties, from high-end select service to world-renowned resorts. We have properties in Napa and on Huntington Beach and in La Jolla and also in Kauai. Our latest acquisition was a hotel we purchased in Austin, Texas, called the Grand Duca. And we just opened a Hyatt Place in Phoenix that just opened last week. So that's our portfolio. And just to kind of give you an idea, so my journey's been, from a dishwasher in North Tonawanda, New York, to changing majors and going, to college out at UNLV, and then in Las Vegas, and graduated from college there, and went to Hawaii for 7 years. Working at the Hyatt Regency Waikiki, then opened the Hyatt Waikoloa and the Grand Wailea in Maui, and then came back to Vegas and opened the Luxor Las Vegas, and joined a company called KSL Capital, where I ran the Grove Park Resort in Asheville, North Carolina, Grand Traverse Resort in Northern Michigan, La Quinta and PGA West in Palm Springs, La Costa, Barton Creek, and Miraval Resorts. And so, that's been my journey, and it's been a staircase that I keep climbing, and it's been a lot of fun.
Wow. And so which one of the jobs came directly after the dish, when you were a dishwasher, and how was it, jumping from that to the next thing?
So it was funny, I was washing dishes at a Ponderosa Steakhouse in upstate New York. And then with most people who have a career in mind, left there and worked at a amusement park locally, and then joined the Holiday Inn chain for a while, and then the Buffalo Marriott for a while, and got some good experience with some great brands with Holiday Inn, and then also with Marriott, and worked my way through my junior college, and then transferred out to Las Vegas and did internships at Flamingo, Hilton, and Imperial Palace and other hotels, right? So just kind of got my experience, and all the way worked through my years in college in food and beverage, mostly either with TGI Fridays or working security or the door at other concert venues or entertainment venues. And then when I graduated from college, I interviewed and got a job with Hyatt in the management training program out in Hawaii. And so that's how I got my first management role was, after I completed my studies at UNLV, transferred out to Hawaii in the management intern program, and started off in food and beverage, and then switched to rooms, and then ended up in the spa, and did everything from housekeeping to front office to spa management to to sales. And so kind of worked my way through the hotel and through the industry to get to a point and find my niche, which was operations.
So you talked about La Costa. We saw that you worked at La Costa twice. I hear there's an interesting story on how that kind of happened. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, I was working for a company called KSL Capital, and we had a property in northern Michigan called the Grand Traverse Resort, beautiful resort up in about 4 hours north of Detroit. But we sold it to the local Ottawa Ojibwa Indian tribe. And so so I had an opportunity to transfer first out, you know, to La Costa in a construction facet. So I did, because I had spa experience from Hawaii, I got the job of doing second tier, you know, construction, which was FF&E installation, sourcing and install at the La Costa Spa. And we bought that hotel. It's one of the largest spas in North America. We have 42 rooms and its own cafe, pools, reflexology path, you know, all sorts of, you know, a variety of different body services. And we teamed up with a Chopra Center, Deepak Chopra, and it had a center at the hotel as well. And just a whole holistic approach to spa but at a much larger scale. And so that's how I got my first job there, and then completed the construction, and then was promoted to the vice president general manager at the La Quinta Resort and Club with PGA West in Palm Springs area. It's in La Quinta, California, so in near Palm Desert, and did that for several years until we became the first Waldorf Astoria you know, kind of collection hotel, which there was a Waldorf in New York. And at one point in time, Hilton expanded to a Waldorf collection. And the first three hotels were the hotels I worked with KSO, which was the Arizona Biltmore, the Grand Wailea, and then additionally, La Quinta. And so we did the transition to Waldorf Astoria. And then, you know, shortly after we did the transition, you know, we got everything working in working order, and we you know, I transferred back to KSO with the Barton Creek Resort in Austin, Texas, and then after, you know, 3.5 years there, transferred back to La Quinta as the vice president general manager after serving as vice president general manager at Barton Creek in Austin, Texas. So it's funny how these things work. You fix one property, and then you get in, either my properties were sold and repositioned, or I went on to the next project. So I was kind of a fixer at that point in my career.
So you were a GM, and now you hire GMs. What are your qualities you look for when hiring a GM?
You know, it's interesting, right? You know, I think one of the things I look for is somebody who's not an expert, but willing to learn. It's funny, as you get into a role like mine, you become more of a generalist than you do an expert. You know, I have so many people that work with me and for me and report to me, you know, that have so much more knowledge than I do, as whether it's in HR or sales and marketing or operations or food and beverage or what have you, legal, accounting. But my job, you know, as you get higher up in the food chain, is to really manage all these people for, you know, a kind of a common desired outcome, right? So for me, it's, you know, when I look at somebody who's a potential general manager, I'm looking for somebody who has the ability to learn and open his mind to different ideas and ways of doing things, because I think that's really the most critical thing about my job is I'm not a know-it-all. I can't know it all. So I depend a lot on the people that work with me, but also challenge them back in terms of making sure that we have the right formula for success.
So are there any sort of warning signs you look for in an interview with the GM?
Humility is one of them. We all have, you know, certain things that we're good at, right? You know, and it's always easiest to kind of touch on those in an interview process about the things that you're good at, because that's your expertise, and people feel most comfortable talking about what they're most comfortable with. It's when we get into those areas where maybe based on their resume or their past experience, I know they don't have deep knowledge, but how they handle that conversation and their willingness to open their mind and to be consistent and sincere about the fact that maybe this isn't their area of their deepest strength, but they have a willingness to learn and get involved and be more kind of be an explorer in this area in terms of their own personal growth.
So when we looked through the portfolio of Pacific Hospitality, I saw that you have some independent hotels and also some branded hotels. What's the difference in kind of your job when it's an independent hotel or it's, say, a AC hotel?
Well, you know what? I always enjoyed the independent hotels. That's been most of the ones that I've worked at through my career. I like it because you can kind of chart your own path, and there's not a set rule book. You get to really understand the market, your asset, and where you think you can apply your energy for the best results, right? History and data points and experience in each of these market segments, right? And the ones that we tend to get involved with are kind of that high-end select service, like with the AC hotels. And so, each brand has their own way of doing things and their own approach. But, we find ourselves, particularly during the pandemic, when the brand, went through their own transition and in many ways, we were left to manage the properties on our own. We became very clever in how we approach the business and even, improve some things, from a brand standpoint that I think that they're going to take under, their advisement going forward as they look to refine their operating models. So, at the end of the day, I think, my passion was always for the independent properties because it was, there was no rule books and no shackles, so to speak. But I also appreciate how the brand approaches in their approach to the business because they have so many different metrics and KPIs, key performance indicators that they can bring to the table that they've done in the past through, all their different assets that they can say that, this is what we found over these, 150 hotels that works the best. And that's very, really very valuable information. But I think, I'm a student of the industry, a student of this business. And so any of those things I can learn, I think is really important. I think what the brands have had the opportunity to do through the pandemic is learn from us in terms of, how do you operate in a crisis situation? How do you bring properties back from almost being at 2 or 3% occupancy to mid-40s to mid-60s to back to full strength? And what's really important to the customer at the end of the day?
So Pacific Hospitality Group has a very diverse group of hotels. How do you compare the performance between all of them?
Well, it's funny. I do one of the first things we did here when I got here 4 years ago was started planning for a centralized accounting system, right? So that we could, slice and dice and information and kind of look at, information in different ways. We didn't have that prior. It was a kind of a Excel, spreadsheet format. And so we went through the process, installed a software program called Great Plains, which is Profit Sage, Profit Sword. And that way we can manipulate our data and slice and dice it so we can create, similar comparisons for all of our assets and understand, how each asset is performing, on a same type of metrics, and then obviously every asset's different, right? You got different market, different rate structure. My hotel in New Orleans is doing much differently than my hotel in Irvine, California, right? So it's each one's unique and you got to factor that in. But what it does give you is some of those key metrics that you can kind of use as a cross comparison. So you can better, just understand your business. And I think that's really the key thing.
So what is the most challenging part of your job?
The thing I love most about it is probably the thing that's the most challenging, you know, is it's every minute is something different, right? So I walked in today thinking I'm going to be focusing on X, Y, and Z. And I end up focusing on A, B, and C. And that's the nature of the business and sometimes how things happen, right? You know, but what I love about this business, I think, when I was growing up, they didn't have thing like ways to assess people's natural behaviors and skills. We go through a exhaustive process with AI right now, where we kind of try to understand when applicants apply for a job, what's their natural behaviors and what are they good at? What do they have opportunities to learn and grow? And what maybe isn't, you know, ever going to be their natural suit because they just don't have attention to detail, or maybe they have a really high tendency to be social and interactive. But that's at the same time, that's going to impact something else differently. And so I think through the years, me getting to know myself has been really important at what I'm good at and what I can do to be successful and how I can, you know, hire people and work with people around me to make myself in a high functioning, you know, work in a high functioning team.
So did you have maybe any mentors throughout your career that helped you move through the rank?
Yeah, I think some of my biggest mentors was, actually when I was going to, I started off going to a junior college in upstate New York and then transferred to UNLV and went through a program at Erie Community College, which was hotel technology. But that first foray in that, you know, is one of those things where I think my mom kind of directed me in this direction where, my brother was great at the whole civil engineering, really loved it, loved the math and the physics and all those things. And I just didn't, right? You know, and that was not what I loved. And she had always recognized that I was much better in a people business where I had interaction, that I got energized off of dealing with people, unlike my brother who didn't, right? So when this program became available in upstate New York and I got assigned to it, it was a awakening for me, right? You know, it was I'd worked in restaurants and I had good bosses and bad bosses, but what this program taught me was, you know, the business and how to look at the business and how to, you know, make a career out of it, right? You know, and I really hadn't considered that up until then. I enrolled in it because I thought I liked my job in the restaurants and so much more than I liked my college studies in engineering. And so I made the switch. But at the end of the day, what my mom recognized and what my teachers recognized is I had a affinity for the business and for, you know, the people side and working through people to get things done. And I think that was probably the most, you know, from a formative standpoint, the most important thing was, you know, my mom giving me some good direction initially, and then, you know, going into this, you know, even a junior college atmosphere, them opening my eyes to this industry and what it was. And before you know it, I graduated there and was going to the biggest hospitality industry of all, Las Vegas. So it just opened me up to the potentials, and that's through my college, you know, professors and the people that knew me best, like my mom. I think, for anybody who's been successful in this business, I think, you know, in my mind, at some point you got bit by the bug, right? You know, you got bit by hospitality, whether it's, you know, at the, you know, Ponderosa Steakhouse, Amherst Holiday Inn, or the Buffalo Marriott, right? You know, I got bit and I love this, this business. And so I think at the end of the day, you know, I would encourage anybody who's looking at this as a career to spend some time working in it and see if they understand, you know, what it's about. Cause it's much more than just, you know, making beds and having people stay overnight serving, you know, breakfast, lunch, or dinner or spa services. It's about creating an experience, and people are loyal to places where they have an experience. And I think for me, anybody that's traveled and ever had an experience where they thought, oh wow, that was really special, you know, then I think, you know, they may be a candidate for, you know, to, for a career in hospitality. And then additionally, if they've ever worked in hospitality and really were energized and felt, felt fulfilled after working a shift or spending time in that industry and dealing with people and solving, you know, solving their problems, you know, or challenges, or just give them a great service, whether it's a meal or a check-in or a hotel experience or a spa experience or what have you, you know, if you feel fulfillment through that, then that could be a career for you. I look at my daughters, right, you know, and they're, I talk to them about what they want to do with their lives. And it's really about finding something that they love to do. You know, for me, I was lucky. I stumbled into it. For them, they're a little more more mindful of it, maybe because, you know, I've kind of instilled that in them to find something to do with your life where it doesn't matter if you make $1 million a year or you make, you know, $10,000 a year. You know, whatever you're doing, you go home at night, you put your head in your pillow, and you feel fulfilled and have a good day.
Well, it was really great to learn your story and about Pacific Hospitality Group. We at Hospitality Speaks wish you and your staff the best of luck. And for the rest of you, tune in next time.